Mozart perennial favorite, a little night music here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is from a recording of the London Symphony Orchestra. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is performing the piece Saturday as part of a live stream concert. The concert theme is night music. We are going all over the state to find out about upcoming classical music concerts. As the weather warms, COVID vaccines rise, what classical concerts or music festivals are on your wish list? Are you a classical musician? What is your performance schedule looking like for the coming months? How are you practicing with your ensembles? 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is host of Afternoon Classics each weekday and the producer and host of Wisconsin Classical on Sunday afternoons at 1, all on the NPR News and Music Network of WPR. Lori, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Good classical music morning. So the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is doing this live stream 16-concert season of classical and pop music. How is it going?
It's been incredibly exciting. One, certainly to hear the musicians again. I've been listening to this orchestra since I was 8 years old, and it's wonderful to have that connection again. And of course, it's wonderful to be able to see the brand new theater, the restored Warner Theater that's now known as the Bradley Symphony Center. Incredibly exciting.
Oh, so there's a lot of rebirth there and energy. What can you tell us about the concert program for Saturday, the night music?
Night music is always a fun topic, certainly kind of elastic. You take the idea of a serenade, something that would have been sung at night or performed at night under a loved one's window. You have the nocturne, generally a piece that would be quieter, more introspective. And then, of course, the idea that night music can sometimes be mysterious and lead you into the realm of dreams. And everything that the Milwaukee Symphony will be doing this weekend covers that. Oscar Böhm doing a nocturne for brass. Adolphus Hailstork, who is an African-American composer, wrote a divertimento for violin and viola as an engagement gift for a violinist and a violist. The first time they heard it was at their wedding.
Oh, wow.
But we get to hear it this weekend. Carl Nielsen wrote a serenade that he called In Vano. It was a serenade in vain because the musicians were unable to persuade the lady to come out on the balcony. Albert Roussel's serenade. This plays up flute and harp, and there's that dreamy, the sort of the cool, misty, very mysterious sounds. And then we end with what you just played. You end with Mozart. What could be better?
Well, you know, we've been in this dark place in the pandemic, but it's, you know, the music is magical. It really transports us, and it takes us to a better place.
I think we've all discovered in the last year just how much we need music. And I applaud every musician in this state. No one ensemble has taken exactly the same path to finding a way to connect to their audience. Every ensemble has done something different. Every ensemble is making every possible effort to reach out. And I know audiences are responding in kind. I'm not saying that watching something on your computer is the same as being live in the concert hall, but everybody has made every effort to keep that connection going, and it's been incredibly heartwarming.
What are you seeing out there as groups now starting to perform for in-person audiences instead of virtual ones?
There is still some caution. The group that's done a great deal to offer both limited live seating and a streamed concert option is the Duluth Superior Symphony. They've been doing one concert a month now for quite some time. And they've been, again, it's their way of handling things. They are able to limit the seats in the hall and then send the stream out to everyone else who wants to access it. So there's still some flexibility needed. I'm sorry to say I have lost count of the number of times in the last year that I've been on an orchestra's website and they say, we've got a concert planned in 10 days. You go back 5 days later. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, one of our musicians got COVID and we've had to cancel.
Mm.
And so flexibility has been needed. Patience has been needed. We're not out of the woods yet, but there is a feeling right now that we can start to, if nothing else, get people outside for music, which I think we're going to see a lot more of as the weather warms up.
We are talking about classical music concerts and what the future holds with Laurie Skelton as our guide, the host of WPR's Afternoon Classics. You can join in on what concerts you look forward to, 800-642-1234. David is joining us from Glendale. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm an amateur musician. I retired in the last year just before COVID, unfortunately, and then everything shut down, including I subscribed to the Milwaukee Symphony, a number of groups that's been anyway, what I wanted to say was I'm in a community orchestra that a lot of people with day jobs, doctors, lawyers, teachers, whatever. And we used to get together and rehearse once a week and play 5 concerts a year. But in order to get through this current state of affairs where we're having all our members record a movement of the Dvorak Slavonic dances, and by May 10th, we're sending it into a company that's going to combine it, and then we're going to have a virtual concert that can be played online that people can listen to. So that's how we're keeping going and practicing and that sort of stuff.
Oh, wow. David, thank you. Wow. You know, Lori, just people really having to think outside the box and not to forget all of the community orchestras out there.
Absolutely. There are, I honestly lost count. Thank goodness. I've lost count of the number of community ensembles there are in the state. which means we've got a lot of really great, not just talent, but a love of music and a love of music making. And yes, the idea that you have to sit down with a metronome and play your own part and then upload that file so that somebody else can weave it together, that doesn't quite sound like music making. Part of the joy of making music, as I think we just heard, is the rehearsal process. The idea that you get together and you don't just know your part, you suddenly know what everybody is doing and how it works as a whole. I'm a member of the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus, and we've tried having a couple of virtual rehearsals, mostly just vocalizing and learning about new vocal techniques. It did give me new tools to work with, but boy, do I miss my group. I miss my people.
Well, it's the camaraderie, as David said, the people in town in this, in the orchestra and, just having those connections and having community in the orchestra is something you just can't replace.
One thing I think a lot of us forget is that there is much to be learned from others. No matter how well you know your part, you will always be able to get a deeper understanding of the music as a whole by finding out what everybody else is having to deal with, whether it's the note that the tenor section might have a hard time hitting, or whether it's a certain run in the cello section that requires a different kind of fingering. You suddenly get a deeper sense of music is huge. Music has so many components, and it does have to come together.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with WPR Afternoon Classics host Laurie Skelton, our guide to classical music. What concerts did you miss last year and hope to see back this summer? Are there concerts at the park or your community band shell? Do you hope to plan a trip around a music festival destination? Join in 800-642-1234. Here's a little Italian symphony, some Mendelssohn, back in a minute with Laurie Skelton on the Ideas Network. This is Playful Pizzicato, the second movement from Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony. Put away that bow, right? With fingers plucking the strings. We're talking about classical music on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Racine Symphony Orchestra has a live stream concert of this piece for their season finale, Sunday the 18th. Are you looking forward to a classical concert on your calendar? Musicians, how are you doing in the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. WPR's Laurie Skelton is the host of Afternoon Classics, and she stays with us. So, Laurie, the Racine Symphony Orchestra has this program, a season finale. What do you see there?
In addition to the Benjamin Britten that we're listening to right now, they are also going to have their Young Artist Competition winner. I believe his name is pronounced Nolan Bamer. He's going to be playing the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1. So, again, that's been another challenge for orchestras around the state, as well as our young performers. We want to encourage the next generation of musicians. We do that very often through competitions, allowing a young performer to play with an orchestra. And I know it's been a real challenge having virtual auditions or in some cases, having the musicians not play with an orchestra but play with a piano accompanist. So it's thrilling to know that Racine is going to be bringing this young man to their concert platform, live streaming this concert. It will be available for viewing after the 18th. Racine was one of the first to get on board with the idea of, let's focus on pieces with musicians who can be masked, which mostly means the strings.
Strings, yeah.
And what they did was they started last summer with one particular section of Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And they put up one season as the year went on. They just got spring up on their website about a month ago. So Racine was one of the first to say, all right, we're going to find a space where we can spread out, put our masks on, and still play together, get that performance captured on video, and then share it with everyone.
Wow, what a story. Let's loop back here to the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, which is performing Florence Price's Piano Concerto on the 17th. And let's hear a little performed by the Pacific Symphony, and then let's talk about it. Can't we just go on listening? I don't want to talk over this.
You've just underscored one of the biggest problems I have as a classical announcer. Gorgeous piece ends. The last thing you want it to do is have me come in and start talking. The thing is, we don't like silence in radio, so something needs to be said. Florence Price, I noticed NPR start doing programs about her about 8 years ago. And every time they talk about Florence Price's music, everybody is saying, rediscovered. Well, guess what? In Wisconsin, for a long time, if you wanted to play Florence Price's first or third symphony, you had to come to Wisconsin because it was a Middleton music publisher that was providing the music.
Wow.
When you spoke to Stephanie Elkins in February, I know she talked about the fact that so much of Florence Price's music is being rediscovered because it had been lost for so long. It had been hidden away and almost got tossed out with the recycling. And so there is this push right now to get more of Florence Price's music recorded and performed. Some people would say, how can you rediscover someone we've never really lost? I'm just thrilled we have more and more opportunities to if there is one good thing that has come out of this pandemic for music, is that the idea of we need to keep excitement going. We don't necessarily have to worry about what's popular in order to get a big crowd into the auditorium. We have been able to focus and expand our knowledge of composers who aren't Beethoven or Mendelssohn or Rachmaninoff. And for instance, the Milwaukee Symphony's final concert of their 16-concert season is going to be on Juneteenth. Yeah. And they have been bringing Black composers, composers of color, to the Bradley Symphony Center all of this season. And there will be an amazing celebration of African-American composers on June 19th.
Oh, that's brilliant. And, you know, Price's work, it's like, as you say, it's having a moment, but it's hopefully going to stay. Like, she's not going to be going away, that we'll have her. And I was reading a review of the Philadelphia Orchestra that featured her piano concerto recently, and the reviews used words like knockout, and it sets a standard, and extremely powerful, emotional. I mean, this is really remarkable.
She wrote letters saying, I have two strikes against me. I have African blood in my veins, and I am a woman. But I still think my music deserves attention. And she was sending these letters to some of the greatest conductors in America in the 1930s and 40s and 50s. And I'm sorry it took most of us so long to find her. So now we have the opportunity to take Florence Price, to take the music of William Grant Still, carry that forward, and then see who they have inspired and carry that music forward as well.
Well, Lori, let's move over to the Sheboygan Symphony Orchestra that has a live stream concert on Saturday the 17th. And the program includes Toccata for Percussion by Carlos Chavez. And here's a recording by the Southwest Chamber Music. What do you enjoy about this piece?
I am one of the clumsiest people on the planet, which is probably why I adore rhythm in music so much. Now, Sheboygan did something I thought was incredibly clever. Because they knew they had to work with smaller groups, they decided to focus their concert one section of the orchestra at a time. Strings fine, winds fine, brass fine. Nobody ever thinks that the percussion section needs to have the solo spotlight. This concert gives it all to the percussion section. And what you just heard, it's just those are just basic orchestral percussion instruments. We don't have anything fancy coming in from the Far East or from Africa. These are basic orchestral instruments, but you get a chance to hear them in a way you may never have before. It's a really cool piece.
Oh, wow. So how are they delivering this concert? What is that live stream event going to be like?
These are concerts that will, almost every ensemble in the state, once they've got something up on YouTube or once they've got something up on their website, they're leaving it up for the time being. There are a few concert venues like the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, like the Milwaukee Symphony, where those are streamed on a different platform than YouTube. You do pay a ticket price, but that will give you access to those videos for as long as the ensemble wants to leave those up on that particular video platform. Every ensemble is different, so check every ensemble's website. There are great instructions, and again, be patient, be flexible. If you want to support your local musicians, everybody is doing something a little bit different, so play along and help them out.
Well, you know, spring also brings so many classical music recitals on college campuses. How are they navigating those types of recitals?
Again, everybody is finding different things to do. UW-Madison is streaming. UW-Milwaukee is streaming. I've the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. One of my favorite chamber ensembles is the Prometheus Trio. They did their first stream performance again about a month ago. I've talked to teachers. They've had everything from, now this is an elementary school situation where some of the kids were coming in for in-person classes part of the week and some of the kids for the other part. So what they did was, since we can't bring the parents to the concert, we'll record the kids, make a video, send it home, and let the parents mm-hmm. enjoy it and then share it. Zoom is playing a big part in a lot of concerts. Everybody is finding their own way, and I hope there's a way to keep some of that video outreach, a creative outlet going forward, not as a substitute for a live concert, but as a way to enhance, again, all of the things that go into making music.
Lori, thank you for joining us.
Absolute pleasure.
Lori Skelton is host of Afternoon Classics, each weekday producer and host of Wisconsin Classical. The classical music continues right after this news update on the Ideas Network. Bit of a beloved Mozart. That is Ina Kleina Nachtmusik on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're continuing our tour of Wisconsin's classical music scene with a pair of string musicians now. What do you want to ask about performing in these times? 800-642-1234. Blakely Mangini is violist for the Door County-based Griffin String Quartet. Blakely, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Aaron Aldridge is here as well, music professor at UW-Superior and concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. Aaron, welcome to you.
Thank you so much and good morning.
Good morning. So Aaron, the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra is performing in-person concerts with a limited audience. How is it going?
It's going really well and it feels amazing to be back and performing. I think the organization has done a really fantastic job of making sure that both musicians and audience are safe. And even though it doesn't look very big, because we have about a 2,000 seat hall and about 250 people spread out in the audience, it's really great to be back on stage again.
What does that mean for the musicians to have a live audience?
I think it's, you know, now that I've done so many live stream concerts and you do get feedback, but it's just not the same as that immediate response that an audience gives you. And we have a very dedicated audience up here and a wonderful relationship with the community. So it feels like we're coming together again.
Mm. Blakely, how are you navigating all this with the Griffin String Quartet? How are you handling performances and audiences?
Well, we're actually just making plans now to start some events with live audiences at the end of May. But for the past year, we've been doing virtual events. I mean, I think we've done about 100 events in the last year, which kind of blows my mind. But reaching, you know, all ages, but virtually, which is, it's been new for us.
How do you practice together? How does that work?
So in-person rehearsals have been the only thing that we've been doing live, I suppose. We've been spacing and wearing masks and just rehearsing a little less often than we normally would in regular times.
Yeah. You know, for a musician, how has the pandemic been? I mean, do you feel like your creative self? Do you feel the synergy with musicians or is something a little bit off?
I think maybe it's yes to both. In the past year, I feel like we've really flexed a new creative muscle that maybe we didn't even know we had.
Yeah.
With this whole virtual experience and, you know, putting what we do for education and outreach and performances all online, it's been a creative endeavor. It sounds like it would just be, you know, working on the computer, but it's really been a creative process. But of course, as Aaron mentioned, you know, we miss that chemistry of the audience. But we had an event the other day where we We played a YouTube video for a group and connected with them over Zoom. And so we could watch them watching the YouTube video of us playing.
Oh, wow.
And they clapped after every piece. And I was so moved by that because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've never felt the urge to clap for a live stream or a virtual concert. But this audience was, you know, so moved by us. And I think it's important to be reaching out even in this time.
Oh, wow. Aaron, what about you? Because as concert master, you have to ensure there is that chemistry with the musicians and that they're feeling the music and feeling it together.
It's definitely a challenge. I think when we're on stage, we're so spread out now. So gestures are bigger and communication is bigger. And it's definitely challenging, but at the same time, now that we're all sort of getting used to it, and it's not to replace our normal way of playing, but I think now we're kind of finding our groove and able to realize that there's subtle changes. And our music director, Dirk Meyer, does an incredible job of communication and really keeps us really centered and really playing cohesively and as a group.
So Aaron, I understand you've brought some music to share, and let's hear a little bit and then talk about it.
Great.
Oh, wow. So tell us about what's going on here.
Well, I just sort of going off of what Blakely was saying, I totally agree that there's sort of a new type of creativity. And for me, it was both in research of underrepresented composers and also technology. So one of the things I learned was Adobe Pro so that I could put multiple tracks together, those sort of Brady Bunch screens that people are doing. And I after the events of last summer, I wanted to do more research and bring in more underrepresented composers. And in part of my research, I came across Jose White, and who was an Afro-Cuban composer and violinist virtuoso who actually taught at the Paris Conservatory. And I've done a lot of research in that area and from the turn of the century of the 20th century time period, and did not know his name at all. And he has really extraordinary compositions. And this, I played both violin parts and the piano part. I put this together for a virtual recital for UW Superior, and it's called La Bella Cubana, and which is very different than how he normally composes. He's very virtuosic. Those of you familiar with the violin world, Wieniawski, Vuitton, that style of composition. So I've gotten very creative in both fields.
How did Jose White work? What do you know anything about how he crafted his pieces or where he did the work?
I think predominantly, I mean, he toured quite a bit, and then he ended up at the Paris Conservatory to teach. He started there as a student, and then he ended up being a professor. I am still in the beginning stages of learning about him and researching him. And he has a set of etudes, and I'm very excited. Even though our season isn't announced, I will be playing his violin concerto with the symphony next year. So I'm at the sort of the beginning stages of all of this, but I can't wait to dive in even further.
Oh, wow. So we will get a lot more of Jose White in the future. Blakely, I understand you've brought a recording of the Griffin String Quartet performing some Bach. Let's listen. So Blakely, what does this bring up? What do you appreciate about Bach?
Well, this piece, it's the Goldberg Variations, mm-hmm. which was written for a keyboard instrument, the harpsichord. So to play this arrangement, it's an arrangement for a string trio. We really felt like we were able to get inside the mind of Bach because when we're playing the solo repertoire that we're used to as string players, the cello suites and the violin sonatas and partitas, sometimes it's daunting to be able to pick out, you know, where is the bass line, where are the inner voices that Bach was hearing. But when we're playing this arrangement, all of those things are so clear and our roles become so clear. And it's really fun to communicate what we feel about maybe the inner lines of Bach's incredible writing.
Mm. We're talking with two classical musicians about working in the pandemic in these times. Blakely Mangini plays viola for the Griffin String Quartet. Erin Aldridge is a UW Superior music professor. She's concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. And you can join in. Musicians, how are you being affected in these times? How are you working to improve your music? How are you getting together with your ensembles? What have you learned about production on computers with your music? 800-642-1234. So Blakely, how do you hope people feel after listening to performances by the Griffin String Quartet? I know you're talking about just the act of seeing people clap can be so moving.
Yeah, I think our goal is to provide some hope. This has been, you know, such a hard year for so many people in so many different ways. And even just the act of, even if it's sitting at the computer with someone you love, enjoying music together, I think it's that feeling that we want to provide and also show our, you know, devoted audience that we're still here for them, even if we're, you know, not face to face.
Erin, where do you find hope in the music?
I think I agree with everything that Blakely said. I think it is a way for us to communicate in a way that can calm and enrich and make people come together. And again, whether it is socially distant in an audience, if it is via live stream, there still is a camaraderie. There still is, I think when music goes away and the arts go away, there's a big hole left. So I think signaling that music is still here and also starting little by little to come back, I think I think it's hopeful.
Erin Aldridge is a music professor at UW Superior. Blakely Mangini is with the Griffin String Quartet based in Door County. Musicians, join in. How has your livelihood been affected? Are you working on new music rather than performing? How are you using this time? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. This is Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. Coming in on Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony as we explore classical music in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We're catching up with string players in Superior and Door County. UW Superior Professor Erin Aldridge directs the university's orchestra, teaches violin. Blakely Mangini is the violist for the Door County-based Griffin String Quartet. And they're telling us about what they have in store in the coming months, what it's like to be a classical musician in these times. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Erin, let's talk about your students for a moment. You teach music. What has this year been like for your musicians trying to learn their craft?
It has been interesting, insane, stressful, also wonderful, kind of at the same time. I'm happy to say, I mean, we're now all used to lessons on Zoom and we're able to do quite a bit of really great work that way. And through very carefully crafted COVID protections at the university, we've now been able to have, you know, in a big room, separated, masked, et cetera, lessons in person, and also orchestra rehearsals, same thing. And I have found more and more, and with feedback from students, that music actually, whether, because I work with a lot, our majors, of course, but we also have a lot of non-majors in the ensembles. And for them, that was sort of this respite of craziness that they could really, you know, engage in music, and it sort of fed their soul in a way that was really wonderful.
For your majors, music majors, what is their career prospects like now? I mean, in these times, what are you telling them?
Well, you know, first of all, to keep, you know, to keep working hard but at the same time, to also keep options open and take time to learn other skills, whether it's, if you're a violinist, and learning viola, which is really important, and learning, you know, or if you have a minor, diving into that and seeing how you can put both music and, let's say, in business, how can you put that together, and sort of coaching them that way.
Yeah. Will there be spring recitals this year?
They will all be live stream. We cannot have audiences, in-person audiences, but we have a recital series that features our faculty and all students' recitals. Everything has been live stream.
Blakely, you know, the Griffith String Quartet provides music lessons. How has that work been going?
It's actually been going really well. The kind of education side of what we do typically would involve going into schools and, you know, doing presentations on chamber music and playing together and teamwork, as well as private lessons, group classes, and the like. Last March, everything moved online. And we sort of adapted to this new way where all members of the quartet are teaching private lessons online, which, you know, has its pros and cons. But I think our students have really stepped up to the plate in a way. I think maybe we expected more cons than are actually present. And the education that we do with school outreach, we've done that online as well. And I think it's been going really great, actually.
What is the most difficult skill to teach virtually?
Wow, that's such a great question. I think the limitations of playing virtually with someone in a lesson, it limits what you can do with playing together and hearing two voices at once. So in a virtual lesson, the student is kind of playing just on their own, but in an in-person lesson, we would be able to play maybe a bass line along with their part just to increase their awareness of harmony. So I think that's maybe the biggest challenge with virtual lessons.
Yeah. Performers, they rely on concerts, of course, for income. How has the Griffin String Quartet been doing financially?
Wow, we are incredibly blessed to still be able to make our living doing what we do. We are in residence with Midsummer's Music, which is a music festival in Door County, Wisconsin, and we serve Door County area, as well as the Green Bay area. And we've been able to find grants this year for the work that we do with schools and patients in memory care. And we just feel really, really blessed, because I know so many people, I mean, we're a young quartet, and so many of our friends are just out of work.
You mentioned memory care. What are those performances like?
Really amazing. We run a program called Be Double Sharp, and it's for patients in memory care, dementia, Alzheimer's. We just had an event the other day. It was similar to the one I told you about earlier, where we would share a pre-recorded YouTube video of us playing, and then we would do a live Q&A over Zoom. And it was really cool because we were on an iPad in the room. And the host of the event was just kind of carrying us around on this iPad so we could be up close with the patients there and hearing their stories of music that was meaningful to them in their lives, I think was so mutually beneficial.
Oh, so uplifting. We're talking with two classical musicians about working in the pandemic. Blakely Mangini plays viola for the Griffin String Quartet. Aaron Aldridge is a UW Superior music professor, concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. Aaron, how is the orchestra, you know, with performing with a limited in-person audience, that would mean diminished ticket sales, I would assume. What do those financials look like?
I'm not always in the room for the financial conversations, but I do think that things are going really well. And I think it's sort of been really important for us, even when we started out, it was just live stream without an audience, but we get donations from patrons who are really, really thrilled to be able to see us and connect with us again. And I think that has been a really big support.
Are there things that you're going to take from this pandemic experience, Aaron, and carry on after? You know, what will change about the music and how you deliver it?
I think, you know, I don't want to lose the live in person. I mean, that's so critical and important for both audience and performer. But I think this has sort of opened up a new technological phase where, you know, you can maybe have an in-person concert with live stream and feedback. And I think I would like to see, I'm always an advocate of breaking down the wall and making musicians, you know, we may be up on stage, but making them accessible and being able to communicate, whether you're writing in a chat or applauding or, you know, I see that coming in and adding to what we already have.
Blakely, what do you expect the summer might look like for classical performers?
I think, honestly, it's really hopeful, especially with vaccine rollout. I know I have my second dose coming up, and that's so exciting, and it provides just, I think, the hope that we need that, you know, we didn't know how long this would last, and now maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think there are so many more options now that we've all learned to adapt toward with being able to teach virtually. You know, if we move things in person and then you're not feeling well, we have so many options now that things don't have to be canceled, really. We have such a larger toolbox now.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Blakely Mangini is the violist for the Door County-based Griffin String Quartet. Aaron Aldridge, music professor at UW-Superior. She's concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Cellos in G Minor on The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network.